The Dating Show with Pete Wicks and Cece Coleman on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm all the better for seeing you, my love. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Does anyone else call you Peter? Is it annoying?
No, it's not annoying, but I mean, I've answered to a lot worse, so I'll take Peter. But my mum and my nan call me Peter when I've done something wrong.
It does sound quite aggressive, doesn't it?
It just makes me feel, whenever anyone calls me Peter, it makes me feel a little bit nervous, like I might have done something. Have I done anything to you?
No, I'll stop. I won't do that anymore then. Fine.
Good, because my heart rate is sort of, do you know what I mean?
It's palpitations.
It's gathering speed, yeah.
So in case nobody knows what you're listening to, this is FUBAR Radio.
Just me and Cece having a chat.
Just chin wagging as always. This is The Dating Show. And our topic this week is going to be toxic masculinity.
It's a big one.
It is a big one. It's not something I'm entirely familiar with, the term anyway. But I think now I've sort of looked into it a bit more, I understand that actually it's just everything, isn't it? It's just who people are as human beings.
Well, for anyone that's listening and for you that doesn't have an idea of exactly what it is, we've got Governor B to talk about it today. And he is he's the man in the know.
Yeah, I've watched a bit of his Instagrams and he actually speaks about it in his music as well, which I've learned. So he's clearly quite clued up. So maybe we'll just leave it for him to talk about. Yeah, he can just explain.
It teaches us all. So today we've got an education session with Governor B. But before that, we have our dating news of the week.
Oh, God. I mean, where do we start with this? This always fascinates me. So we've got, I'm going to go with the woman that discovers that she's cheated, been cheated on. So this woman, I've watched the video and it's great. She's obviously quite angry, but she's played it down. She's played it like really calmly. And what she's done is she's taken all the evidence that her boyfriend, that she's found that her boyfriend's cheated on her with. He cheated on her with 3 girls in 4 days. Yeah.
3 in 4 days.
3 in 4 days, as she says. And then she's printed out all of the information. So like the screenshots, the messages between them, and plastered them with super glue on his wall and on his mirror. So basically when he comes home, or if he tries to take a lady home, she's going to see this wallpaper of text messages of him cheating.
I mean, there's nothing worse than a woman scorned, is there?
No, no, there's not. But is that too far?
Absolutely, that's too far. Absolutely, that's a little bit nutty. I mean, to go to the effort of making wallpaper and having it plastered across your fella's house, she could have just said, off your fuck, mate, I'm done now. But no, she really went in there and bashed him over the head with it.
Do you know, my first thought was what a waste of ink, because she's done it in colour. What a waste of ink. I mean, to go to all that effort, she must have had to buy a new toner and, like, do you know what I mean, go to the printer unless she's got her own. What a waste.
I absolutely love that the story is about a guy who cheated on his missus and she loses the plot, and you thinking that the worst thing about this story is the fact that she's used too much ink.
What a waste. Just what a waste.
What a waste of ink. On a plus side, there was another woman this week who had a better time of it as she was chatting up her neighbour through the window.
I think this is quite romantic.
Now, this reminds me. So basically, this lady was holding up signs to chat up through the window to chat up her neighbour. There's a film that's like this, is there not?
Love Actually. Yes.
Is that the one when he stands and holds a thing, which is pretty much known as one of the most romantic kind of scenes in a film ever, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is a feel good one, a little bit of lighter dating news. Have you ever done anything similar?
No, and I sort of wish I had. I was like, well, what can I put? Actually, no, do you know what I have done? But this sounds really stalkery. I did get, so I wrote a list of 31 things that I liked about this person. And then I decided, we had an argument, and I thought, what a better way to make up with this person by getting them printed on a T-shirt. And then when we had to meet to have this, like, the chat, I turned up with the T-shirt on, and it said 31 things that I love about you. And then his name on the back. Now it sounds weird when I say it, but at the time, I believe that's a really romantic gesture.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Like, if someone did that to you, Pete, like, you know, you're a bit pissed off your girlfriend. She's done something to annoy you, like, quite badly. And then she turns up. She's like, oh, please meet me for a drink. You know, I'll buy you a drink. And you're like, oh. And she's got your name and 31 things, adorable things that she loves about you on a T-shirt.
I would be absolutely mortified, and I would probably run as fast as I could, thinking to myself, bunny boiler.
I mean, this was a few years ago, so that's my excuse.
I mean, would you do it again?
Probably not.
No.
Such an effort.
Hindsight is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Do you know, again, what a waste of ink. Gone all the way to the printers. What a waste of ink. And a T-shirt.
What a waste of a Fruit of the Loom T-shirt. Yeah. Now, this, however romantic this is, this lady doing this sign at the thing, it didn't end too well for her. And I feel a little bit bad for her because she basically wrote, at the man with a bike on his balcony, are you single? His reply was basically one of the biggest payoffs I've ever heard.
Oh, God, what did he say?
Yes, but I'm moving in 2 months' time. Sorry. P.S. Stay romantic.
Yeah, that is pretty harsh. But then, hang on, if he's saying stay romantic, he's appreciating like what she's done.
Yeah, it's thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even if you're moving in 2 months as well, it's like loads could happen in 2 months, loads.
So I'm guessing he either had a bird and he was being a nice fella, or he just wasn't that interested in the signs. Maybe if she'd said something better. What would you say if you were trying to chat up your neighbour from across the street and you wanted to grab his attention with a sign or a T-shirt? What would you do?
I'd probably just keep walking past in really skimpy clothes and just like, it'd be more weird and more stalkery. But I'd just, just keep walking past and be like, oh, God, go to the shop again. And just look like a complete slut and hope that he's like, oh my God, I love that slut look.
So for the lady, if you are listening, instead of being romantic and writing on cards, are you single? Cece's advice is to get your tits out and keep walking past.
You appreciate then as you, and you walk out your house and you're like, oh, my neighbour's got something. Oh, what is that in their window?
I'll be honest with you, I'm a simple guy, so actually your advice would work very well for me.
Okay, so just walk around with your tits out.
Listen, Cece, if you did that, listen, I'd be on it like a car bomb.
Yeah. Do I get the status of weird now taken away from me? I'm suddenly normal.
No. I mean, it depends how good the tits are. No. You're still weird. But this is why I love you.
Thank you. This is why we have such a good chat, because we just express ourselves. There's no hidden agenda. It just is what it is.
There's no judgment.
No judgment at all. No.
Absolutely haven't judged you at all throughout the weeks that we've been doing this.
Oh, thanks, Pete. Feel special.
I think I judged you more by the conversation we had before this show started, but don't worry, I will not be telling everyone about that.
Was for you only. That was not for all of our lovely listeners. That was between me and you.
Do you know, all I'm going to say is that Cece loves a dip. And, from that you can guess. Let's move on.
Right. Toxic masculinity. Let's talk about the subject. I love this. So if anybody doesn't actually know what it means, which I didn't, I'm going to read the actual definition and it won't make sense, but hey ho. So toxic masculinity is when the stereotypical image and perception of what it is to be a man becomes harmful and aspirational. It glorifies unhealthy habits. Okay, so in lame terms, what does it mean to you, Pete?
I mean, if we go back to the language, it's basically the mythological idea of what a man should be.
Yeah.
So what a man should be is strong, dominant, powerful, shouldn't really show emotion, should just be the protector, all of that sort of stuff, effectively. And that's not always the case. And I think it's something we're taught from a very young age. Like, I think a lot of people have toxic masculinity kind of talked to them as you're growing up. Even I did, to be honest with you. Even silly things like having to pay on a first date. That falls with inside that. As lovely as that is, that's a way of dominating and controlling something.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have different ideas of what it is. And at the end of the day, I think what it comes down to is the fact that toxic masculinity has become this thing where it doesn't show equality, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think it stems, obviously, I mean, it comes from history and what we, you know, everybody was brought up differently. So how I was brought up to you, you're brought up differently. So my idea with it, my overlap is, it's like, for instance, paying on a date. That is toxic masculinity. However, how I was brought up and how my dad had always paid for my mother, that's all I know. So that's kind of in my head. I'm like, oh, this is how the society works. This is how it should work. But that in 2021 isn't how it works. So it's difficult because you...
It's a fine line, isn't it?
There is, and you know what you like and you know what you want, but then it's like, is it okay to say that? Because then you're sort of putting somebody in a bracket. So you want a man, but then you want him to be emotional as well. So, but then you don't want to be too emotional. And it's like, where does that line draw?
It's sort of going back to caveman time, like protector gatherer is the guy.
Exactly.
Lady's supposed to stay at home and do the emotional stuff and bring up the kids and do all that sort of stuff. And it kind of stems from that, really, doesn't it? And now that we've evolved so much from that kind of situation, I think toxic masculinity is a power thing. Effectively, it's a power thing. That's quite dangerous. Power is always dangerous. And I think there's a lot of guys these days that don't know they're being toxic with their masculinity.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that's the problem. I don't think a lot of people maybe necessarily do it on purpose.
Yeah.
I think it's a case of, it's nature versus nurture and all that sort of stuff, isn't it? Is people just have been brought up in a certain way and don't understand that actually, it's not really acceptable to act in some of the ways that guys do.
You must have, I'm sure at some stage in life, if you were ever upset, I won't use you because I think it's unfair, but I've heard a lot of people say, don't cry, or come on, or someone's natural response to somebody crying is, even I've done it at times, don't cry, and why not? Why that should be embraced. That's an emotional release and that's what that person needs to do in that moment. But if a man is seen to cry, someone somewhere has made that seem like it's weak. But it's so not. It's so, like, to me, that's brave. Like, if you can cry in front of people, that is so brave because you're allowing yourself to be who you are and you're being true to yourself. Do you see what I'm saying?
100%. And I think, as you just said, that is brave. And I think for a guy, showing your emotions, that's probably the bravest thing you can do. I mean, I was always 100%. Talking about the same thing. You don't cry in front of people. And I'm still guilty of things now. And people ask, are you all right? Or if I'm a bit down or whatever else, I go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm always all right. Because it's you don't want to show that emotion because you think it's weak. And actually...
Is that really what you think? Does that kind of go through your head when you're showing emotion that you think, oh, I can't because it makes me a weak person?
Yeah, massively.
Wow.
And I think that's why I use humour as a defence mechanism. I think a lot of times in some of the things that I do, I don't talk about feelings very often and it probably gets me in a lot more trouble because I can't express myself very well. And I don't think that's anyone's fault. That's got nothing to do with the way I was brought up I suppose it does, but not in a way. I think it's a society pressure that men feel that they can't show emotions because they're not supposed to. And we're getting better, especially over the last few years with, mental health has become a more talked about thing and all that sort of stuff. And I think, that's great for guys, but there still is this taboo around men showing emotion and not being okay. When actually, as you say, it's braver to admit when you're not okay rather than just trying to hold everything in because you feel like that's what a bloke should do.
Yeah. And do you think that that's something that you want to change about yourself?
100%. Of course it is, because it's not fair on other people. I've not had the best week this week, and I spoke to one of my friends this morning. I've ignored her for a few days, and she's like, why'd you do this every time? And it's just my way of dealing with stuff. I go into my own little shell, and I deal with it the way I need to deal with it, because I should be able to deal with it myself. I don't need the help of anyone else, because I'm a bloke, and I can do that.
Have you ever... tried that out where you've been in that moment and you've decided that, I am going to ask, or I'm going to allow someone to help me? No. Wow, really?
I don't I'm always the person that kind of helps everyone else and wants to help everyone else. And but I will never take help from other people. And that's a flaw and a failure of mine, because it makes, I don't know how to describe it. It's not something you do on purpose. You just naturally do it. I don't feel comfortable showing emotion.
Yeah, but if you look at like a therapist, for instance, they see 100 people, for instance, in a week, and they've got all of this emotion coming at them, like they need their release. Like, who is the therapist's therapist? Because if everyone's throwing their stuff at you, your therapy peep, for instance, because you do have great, your perspective is brilliant. So no wonder people come to you, and you are naturally a giver. But then who looks after Pete? Where's Pete's therapy? Where's your release? Apart from going into cocoon, like, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, Pete looks after Pete.
You see, that is toxic masculinity in a nutshell.
And I think, do you know what? It's one of them things when you hear toxic, toxic. Of course, it's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you hear TM, let's call it TM.
Yeah, TM.
You automatically think it's a really negative thing of really bad guys who are just really horrible and they're gaslighting women and they're doing all this sort of stuff. And granted, that is a massive part of it. However, I do think people don't know, or a lot of guys don't realise that they are giving off this toxic masculine vibe and mm-hmm. they don't mean to, they don't do it as a purposeful thing. And I think it's people understanding the broader term of what it means rather than just thinking it's that really negative, must be a horrible guy who's trying to dominate and power over other people, well, power over women especially. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's not always just down to that. There's a wider part to TM.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a big overlap, and I think I'm still understanding it myself. And obviously, you know, I've had boyfriends and whatnot, and seeing that in them, I would have labeled them, say, a narcissist, or I would have put a label on who they are. But actually, they were, it's hard, isn't it? Because how much responsibility do you take? You know, we're all born with our parents and it's how our lives are lived and shaped. But
I think you've got to take responsibility, and I certainly do. I know that's a flaw and a failure of mine, but it's like anything, you know, we're always learning as people. And I think once you can start understanding when you do have traits that aren't necessarily good ones, that's when you can start learning and adapting and evolving as a person to try and work a way of actually stopping yourself from doing that. And I, you know, this whole pandemic thing over the past year has probably helped me do that, because you start to realize that actually, you know, I live on my own and I've been on my own for the majority of this year. You start to realize you do need people.
Yeah. And
you don't realize how much you need people because you're so used to doing everything on your own. And I think the first step in that is people to realize that they may have traits like that. And it's okay to admit that you've got traits like that without everyone going, you're a complete wanker.
You know what
I mean? Because everyone's a wanker in their own little way.
Yeah, of course.
But it's quite interesting. There was a survey that YouGov did that 61% of British young men feel pressured to man up as a result of gender stereotypes. And that man up is one of the most said things amongst blokes.
It's so cruel. Do you know what? I think in my 20s, I used to use that. I don't think it was that term, because I probably didn't know it entirely then, but I'd be saying the same thing without using those words. And I actually went to some couples therapy in my last relationship, and it was the best learning experience I've ever had in terms of how to communicate with people. And I've adapted that and actually use it with my friends too. And she was big on this, you know, do never belittling your man, never, that term man up was just don't do it, because it puts you in such a box that as a guy, you know, there's no real comeback from that. It's, you're always going to be on the back foot, always going to be on the defense, because you want to prove that you are manly enough. But then at the same time, it's okay to not be anything. It's okay to be like, what's the word? Normal and emotional. Yeah.
100%. And I think, do you know what? It even stems from little things about being competitive. I'm super competitive.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you step aside from the kind of mental health aspects, which is one part of it, the competitive part for a man is that you always want to win. Yeah. And you ever heard of this thing, alpha male syndrome?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you get into a group of geezers, you don't want to be the lesser man. Mm-hmm. So even to the point where you get guys, and sometimes you'll get it, guys, when you shake a guy's hand. I always was taught when you shake a guy's hand, you shake it firmly. But do you know what I mean? Let them know you're there.
Yeah.
And then this alpha male syndrome is basically guys who want to be this alpha, and they do it by being the loudest one, the strongest one, the whatever one, the best looking one, the funniest one. And it's a way of having dominance over the people around you. And actually being an alpha male is not being the strongest or being the loudest. It's a natural thing that you've either got or you're not. You're either a natural leader or you're not. Mm-hmm. But too many people want to be that role, so they stop being themselves because they're competing to try and be something that they may necessarily not be. And you don't always have to be the leader. You don't have to be the alpha. You don't have to. If that's not in your nature, don't be it. But it's a thing where guys feel like they have to do that. I've got to be the geezer here. I've got to be this and I've got to be that. if you stop thinking about what you've got to be and just be you, I think you'll be a lot more happy in life.
But I think that, again, that's really hard to do, because that must be 100%. So tiring, constantly having to believing you have to be somebody else. But if you're always told, for instance, by your partner, man up, you're told by your parents, don't cry, then you're always going to try and be somebody else. So no wonder in these situations, you know, that's probably why men fight and women, you know, we bitch, because I know that's putting everybody into a bracket, but you know what I mean, like men would rather fight it out because they're releasing something, and they're it's that testosterone that's been built up, like you say, always wanting to be the loudest or having to be the loudest person. That must get really annoying.
Do you know what, it's one of the things, I think if you think of a toxic masculinity as an image in a man, the first thing that I think of is like a Muscle Mary, big guy,
non-stop,
constantly posing in the thing because they want to look the best, they want to be the best, they want to be the strongest. Is that really what they want to do? Do they do that because they enjoy that? Is it because it's the way that people look at them when you're the biggest one in the room and guys go, oh, you're a big guy, makes a guy feel good.
Because
if you go into a room, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. The amount of times that I've got long hair, the amount of times I've been in places and you get these alpha males and they go, all right, sweetheart. it's instantly trying to belittle someone based on appearance or whatever else, because it makes them feel like they're the alpha then.
I mean, that's so negative, isn't it? Like, to make yourself, you put someone else down to make yourself feel good. What the hell is that?
I think that's part of toxic masculinity, isn't it? It's not being happy and content in yourself. So it's making yourself be what you think a man should be.
I just wish we could all celebrate each other and have a bit more love for other humans, men or women. You know, why can't we support each other? Why is it we have to sort of step on people to get further up? I really don't understand it.
I completely agree with you. And I think that's one of the saddest things about society, is that people are more happy to put other people down to increase their worth in life than actually just accept who they are.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone's beautiful in their own way, you know, whether you're an alpha male, whether you're not an alpha male, whether you're emotional, whether you're not emotional, whatever it may be, that's you, and you are unique. There is no one in the world like you. But it's you know, it's just a pressure to be something that maybe you're not, or be the pressure to be something that you think everyone wants you to be.
Well, to carry on this conversation, our lovely guest has arrived, Gunvor B. So I think we should just introduce him and let's get the ball rolling. So let's get Gunvor B on.
A guy who actually knows what he's talking about.
Hello.
Yo,
how are you? How is your week? How are you as a person? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, doing all right. The weather's looking a lot better. So I'm going for my walks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I can't complain. Well, I could complain, but I'm not going to.
yeah, we could all complain, couldn't we?
Right, the first thing we're going to do, mate, is we're going to do like a little quick fire question thing, right? Before we get into today's subject, which is toxic masculinity. So, Cece, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, so just quick snap answers for these, okay? So, first one, date night in or date night out?
Date night out.
Kissing or cuddling?
Kissing.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Giving gifts.
Dating apps or meeting in person?
Meeting in person.
Dream job or dream partner?
Dream job.
I love this one.
Chat up line or straight to the point?
Straight to the point.
Yeah, let's not fuck about.
Big spoon or little spoon?
Big spoon, just to be clear.
And last one, single or taken, mate?
Taken.
So, Gunvor B, we wanted to chat with you about toxic masculinity. Pete and I have been having a little back and forth over it, and we really wanted to get kind of your understanding and really to share a bit more light on it, because I think the subject or the wording is a bit, firstly, very mouthy. We've just renamed it to TM because the toxic masculinity is too much to say. So what's your understanding of it, and what would you say it is?
So I guess my definition is, you know, a set of ideas that young men or men in general can think are really healthy, you know, like being strong or dominant and never crying. And that's all good stuff. Nothing bad with them. Nothing wrong with them, rather. But when our mind and our body is telling us to be vulnerable or be honest or to let it out, and we suppress that and we don't do it because we're trying to live up to, you know, what society says men should be like, it becomes harmful and detrimental to us then. And yeah, that's my definition, you know. So, for example, if you know, growing up, I got taught to men don't cry. But if I feel like, you know what, my dad's passed away, I feel really emotional about this, but I'm going to try my best not to cry because that's what I'm meant to be, you know, a man that doesn't cry, and I do that, I think it could become harmful for me, you know.
So you wrote a book about it called Unspoken. And was that because of your father's death that suddenly you realised that actually my whole life I've spent trying to be this version of what I think a man should be? And obviously when something terrible like that happened, you had so many emotions you didn't know how to let out and didn't know how to express yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I think my dad passing away was the straw that broke the camel's back. I've had like friends pass away on my estate. I've had traumatic things happen in my life, but I've always had the capacity to kind of deal with it, even though I'm suppressing that stuff. But when I lost my old man, he was such a big part of my life that even though I tried being strong and that kind of stuff, it just didn't work. And I ended up breaking down on a beach somewhere in California just because it all got too much. And that's when I started to look at, you know, what does it actually mean to be a man? Have I failed now? Because I've let it all out and I'm in floods of tears, you know? And yeah, my dad was a huge part of that.
So what are you doing differently, if anything, now to sort of change that where you were, where it was, you know, very closed, maybe guarded? What are you doing differently now?
I think the main thing is I'm trying to allow myself to feel all the things, like feel everything. So if I wake up and I feel happy, then I'm going to embrace that. But if I wake up and I feel sad or emotional, then I'm not going to try and suppress it. I'm just going to embrace that and say, well, I'm not really feeling it today. It's how I feel. And that's that. And I guess a big part of that as well is being honest with the people around me, because looking at my life, like, I feel very blessed because I've had consistent people around that have proven that they love me. So there's no reason why I can't be honest with those people. They're not going to judge me. Do you know what I mean? They got my best interests at heart. So yeah, just practicing vulnerability with the closest people to me and allowing myself to feel everything.
So, I mean, I spoke to CC before you come on, and I said, you know, similar, I was brought up in a way that, you know, geezers don't cry, we don't really show emotion. And I said, even now, there's times where if I'm down or whatever else and someone goes, are you all right, mate? I'll go, yeah, mate, I'm fine, I'm always fine. Yeah. And it's something that, you know I shouldn't be doing, so I know I should be better at talking about things, but I still find it hard to do it. And I think that's not that I was brought up in a certain way that's bad, but I think it's a mythological idea of what a man should be. And I think a lot of guys face that. So if with your group of friends and that now, if you're not feeling too good, do you talk to them about it? Have you started opening up? Have they started opening up to you because you kind of paved the way?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I'm exactly the same. And if someone asks me how I am, like, fine's just your automatic answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One thing that, like, me and my mates have been trying to do, we don't do it all the time, but if we feel that someone needs to open up, we'll say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling today? And then someone's got to have a little thing. Oh, I'm a 6 today. Why are you a 6? Well, this is going great, but this ain't going so great. And so it's, I guess, asking different questions and questions that encourage people or make it easier for people to feel that, yeah, I can share how I'm really feeling today rather than just giving the standard, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. You must be like getting like more deeper relationships with your friends now then, because everyone's guilty of doing that. How are you? Yeah, good. How are you? Yeah, good. Yeah, anyway. And then, you know, like, my friends do that, and we probably ask each other 3 times before we actually get to the so how are you really, and then we express. But you know, women, where it's more acceptable for some people to say those things and be more open, you know, if we cry, it's like, well, we just cried. Yeah. But you know, a man does it or whatever, and it does feel slightly different.
Yeah, our friendships are definitely a lot deeper. I think it's to do with the fact that maybe our generation has moved forward a little bit. Like my old man, I'd never heard him say he had a bad day. He was always all right. Do you know what I mean? But with us guys, I think we say it every now and again, so that's an improvement.
And this show is called The Dating Show. So have you got kind of examples of toxic masculinity and what that means within a relationship?
Yeah, I guess so. So for me, the whole, like, I struggled to communicate was probably really bad for my marriage when I first got married. So when we got married, obviously, we didn't live together before, so we moved in when we got married. And obviously, I got my way of living, she's got her way of living. But what happened is I would get bitter, and I had no one to blame but myself, because if I felt a certain way, I wouldn't externalize it. And then I'm holding a grudge against my wifey, and she don't even know about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think, not communicating. And toxic's a bit of a... don't know if it's the right word to describe it, because I weren't trying to be like this evil, toxic person. And that's not what I mean when I say it. I more mean that it's toxic for myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what I said to Cece before, again, before you come on, is that as soon as you hear toxic about anything, instantly you think of an absolute wanker who's trying to dominate his woman, or he's trying to do this, who's but actually toxic masculinity covers so many different areas. For example, communication. But that word does make it sound like you're a complete and utter fucking arsehole, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But whereas I don't think it is that, because there are subtle little things that people do that guys do that probably they don't know that they're being fairly toxic in a way. You know, have you got any kind of examples of you know, whether there be subtle or obvious signs of guys that maybe, you know, practicing a bit of toxic masculinity?
Yeah, I do know. I'll just be completely honest. I think I've been that guy. You know what I mean?
I have.
Yeah, council estate, East London, the whole like misogyny thing, and just really not intentionally disrespecting women, but the whole like it's a man's world, we can do whatever we want, it don't matter who we hurt. And I've done that, you know what I mean? I remember being on a date when I was, what, maybe 18 at university, and it was one of these, didn't really know the girl that well, but we just met up, and then she came in, and like 10 minutes, you know when you just know you're not really into it? So I went to toilet and I just left. And obviously that's like, that's horrific, you know what I mean? But back then, it was weird, man. It's like I almost didn't have a heart, or I wasn't empathetic, because guys can just do whatever they want to do, and plenty more fish in the sea, and they'll get, and all that kind of stuff. And I think I just had to learn real basic levels of respect, man, going forward. And my parents didn't bring me up that way. I think I don't know, just the culture in the area, do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? I'm from a similar area as well. And I agree with that. I'm exactly the same. When I was younger, you don't have the basic levels of respect, and that's not due to the way you're brought up or whatever else. I think it's almost like, I think for a guy, sometimes you have a birthright of what you think a man can do, and that's pretty much whatever the fuck he wants. Mm. And actually, that's not the case.
Yeah, 100%.
Also, we're not educated on this. So from school, whoever taught us this, whoever said, let's go to emotional intelligence class, you know, you're top of the class if you've got A stars in your GCSEs. That's what's seen as good when you're, you know, intellectual. But emotional intelligence, you don't learn that unless you're actively trying to change something about yourself, or your parents are therapists and they're like, let's sit down and talk, you know, it's okay to be you. I mean, and I wasn't gifted with that, so I had to learn the hard way as well. And you saying about the date you went on when you were 18, you know, trust me, the amount of men have done that to me younger, not now, because I'm not that weird anymore. P and I had this, we had this chat before. But I had that, and I didn't ever see it. I saw that as normal. I just saw that as well. You know, you'd say, oh, he's an asshole, but you don't think that deeply about it, maybe again, due to age, but now.
It's a shame, though. Yeah, it's a shame, because it should never be normal, you know, and it's a shame that guys think they can behave like that, and it's a shame that women have just accepted it.
I think growing up, you're kind of taught the measure of a man is based on success, money, whether he's got shit together, all that sort of stuff, and actually that's it's all fucking rubbish, isn't it, to be honest with you. The measure of a man is how he treats anyone when shit hits the fan or when things are good. It's got nothing to do with how successful you are and what we perceive a man to be successful is. Does that make sense?
100%. And it's just whether, you know, like my son, my little brother and that can learn that young enough. Because I feel like, I don't know about you, Pete, but I got to like a certain age where I was like, oh, I've had money, I've had this, I've had that, and different experiences. And
it made me happier.
Yeah, I'm not happier. Do you know what I mean? So it's just whether people can learn from before they have to experience all that, or whether, I don't know, sometimes I feel like with guys, they just got to experience it and learn for themselves. But yeah, I don't know.
You sort of learn on a job, really, don't you? It's not something, even now, like if I speak to guys that are younger than me and they ask for advice about stuff, you can tell people stuff, but they look at you like, what the fuck are you talking about, mate?
Yeah, man, 100%.
Do you say things? I loved what you'd mentioned earlier about, you know, you ask your friends now where you at 6 out of 10, why you're at 6 out of 10. What if that was too challenging for someone, or someone that doesn't really understand this? What advice would you give to kind of maybe educate themselves a bit more on this, or look within and understand who they are as a person?
Yeah, good question. So I think if you're the friend, the goal is to create the safest environment and the most least pressured environment for someone to open up to you. But if you're the person and you're still struggling, like I did, for me, it was practicing honesty and vulnerability, because I wasn't good at it. So I'm never going to tell you everything, because that's just not my usual frame of mind. It's not comfortable. But what I can do is try and tell you a little bit every day, or every opportunity I get, think, right, I don't know, maybe I'm feeling like a 2 today, but I'm going to pretend I'm a 5. It's not a 10, but at least that's like getting me a bit further along the line. And I think the more you do that with the people that love you, and the more that they respond in the best way, I think the easier it gets, man. It's just like any habit. At the end of the day, I was 27 when my dad passed away. I've lived 27 years being a certain way. It's probably going to take another 27 years for me to work out, you know, this healthier way to live. But I think I just got to take a day at a time, man, and practice it every single day.
Is, if you don't mind me asking then, has your partner, your wife, been really patient with this then? She just really understanding?
Yeah, she was at the start, but I think she'd say that after about 6 months of when my dad passed, I started to take the piss a little bit. So I remember she told me, she told me, she googled, is my husband grieving or is he just being a knob, basically.
Love that.
And yeah, man, I think she was super, super patient, and obviously she loves me, and her natural state is to want to get closer to someone that's struggling, you know, to the people she loves. My natural thing is, if I'm going through a hard time, I don't want anyone near me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of got to learn how to meet in the middle a little bit. And she learned how to not take it personally, and I learned how to not see her as, oh, why are you all up in my space? Just give me space, you know? You got to try and see it as love.
Oh, that balance is such a challenge. My God, that, I think that's women. We do. We're like, oh my God, let me help. Hug me, come closer. And men are just literally like, leave me.
Yeah, I literally said the same thing beforehand. If I've got stuff going on, leave me the fuck alone, because I will deal with it myself, my way, and I know how to get me out of that. And actually, you never want to ask for help. And actually, I think it's just hard for a guy. You know, and it has been for me in relationships previously, communication wise, if I've got stuff going on, I don't want anyone near me. Yeah. But then, you know, someone that loves you, they just want to help you, and you can't understand. And it's only hindsight that makes you think, I pushed that person away and all they did was love me.
Yeah. Do you know the biggest lesson though I learned, yeah, through being married is, someone said it to me once, I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's like, together, no, alone we go faster, but together we go further. Yeah. So, in my moment of like, all right, leave me alone, that might be healthy for me, but I can only get to a certain point before it just goes messy again. But even though it's uncomfortable for me to partner with her and go through this together, we're probably going to end up getting way further along the line, even that it might take a bit longer. So yeah, alone we go faster, but together we go further. That spoke to me a lot.
I love that.
I love that. So nice. Might be a new tattoo for me, that one.
Oh,
I like that one.
No, that's good. That's really meaningful, isn't it? And it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've been doing the show for a few weeks, and I think this is a really important topic. And honestly, mate, you've been an absolute superstar talking about that. I really appreciate that. And I think it's really good for guys to see what we perceive as to be a tough guy talk about these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think it's important for guys that guys can relate to be able to say, do you know what? This is actually what's wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does, man, for sure.
So, mate, you're an inspiration and a role model, bruv.
Cheers, my guy. Appreciate that. And CC as well. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. I appreciate your honesty and your openness.
CC's got this.
Clearly have worked on it, because you're being very honest and very open. And yes, go on, Pete. Take the piss out of me for my bowing my head.
She started doing this namaste thing every time anything happens.
Namaste.
Yeah, she does it every time.
Namaste. Thank you very much.
So we're gonna move on to our game that we play every week, which I'm sure you've heard of now. Love the Way You Lie.
Yep.
So this is basically where you're going to tell us three stories about an experience you may have had with dating, two of which are going to be true and one of them's a lie. We have one question each on each story to find out which one is the lie. So let's hear your trio stories, my friend.
So the first one is, I went on a date, went amazingly. And on the way home, I just looked over at her and thought, I don't know if we're ever going to work, you know, we're living apart from each other. I'm at university, she's in London, and I just can't see it happening. So I pulled into a petrol station because I was on empty, and started topping up my fuel, told her to go inside and pay for me. And as she went inside, I drove off.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I hope that's
a lie. That is savage.
I hope that's a lie.
All right. Story two.
Number two, I'm in probably 3 months deep into a relationship, you know, we like each other. It's not like super, super serious, but it's getting there. And, you know, because she's a keeper, I'd do what any good guy does. I'd take her to West Ham. The West Ham are playing Chelsea and gets to 70 minutes. We're 3-1 down, I think. And she just keeps annoying me. And then we got fourth down. 85th minute, I think it is, and she goes, "Why have you brought me to the football? I hate West Ham. I hate football." And so I said, "Yeah, well, I hate you," and get lost. And yeah, that was it. That was the end of it.
Do you know what the sad part about this is? One of those two are true as well. Well, shit. Oh no, hang on. Is it two? What is it?
It's two truths and one liar.
Yeah, so one of those is truth. Fuck. Oh God, go on.
Cece loved you up until this game.
I know, I was buzzing.
And story three.
Story three is an interesting one, actually.
Who did you leave and where did you leave her?
I went on a date with my wife. We went to Sheesh in Essex. Lovely night, lovely night. Enjoyed it. Some good food. I think I had a mixed grill. I think she had a carbonara maybe or something like that.
Good food down there. It's my mate's restaurant. It's a banger.
Funny you should say that. So we look to our left and who do we see? We see Pete Wicks on a date.
that was an interesting story.
Do you know what I mean? We see Pete Wicks on a date with someone that I don't think was actually his girlfriend at the time. But yeah, we'll leave that for another day. And that's my trio of stories, guys.
Oh my God, this is brilliant. This is the best so far.
What a fucking liberty that is. my guy's just sold me down a river.
This is so good.
The worst part is I don't know if that's truth or a lie. Cece, start us off.
Right, question number one. Petrol station story. Where was the petrol station?
The petrol station was in Chadwell Heath.
All right, my first question for that one is, how far was that from her home?
Everything's an Uber ride in London, so that weren't that far, was it?
Oh my God, this is so bad. Okay, question number two. At the football match, what was she doing to annoy you?
West Ham are losing.
Snarky little comments. Oh my gosh, who's shooting where? Why have they stopped it? What's that? I'm going to go get a sausage roll. Do you want one? All that kind of stuff, man. You don't want to hear it when your team are losing.
My question for that is, have you ever taken another date to the football since then, other than your wife?
No, I haven't.
Put you off. Third story, CC question.
Right, question. I'm going to try and keep this to one question. So, who would you describe that Pete was with, as in terms of what does she look like? And what was the body language like? And did they look like they were having fun? Basically, one question.
That is three questions.
Were they snogging? Or were they doing things under the table? Were they like, you know...
I wasn't getting wanked off under the table in Sheesh, Cece. For fuck's sake. What do you think I am?
Come for me, you tell us. Come on, I want your take on it. Don't want Pete.
I don't even know what question you want me to ask. You asked me about five, but...
Just set the scene for me here. I want to know a bit more.
It all looked above board. So it was in this area of Sheesh, which they call the Leather Lounge. So it was a bit...
Oh, God, that sounds so trashy.
Like, she was kind of tall, slim, dark hair, I believe. Both dressed very nicely, but from what I could see, it was a respectful date. They were keeping their distance. There was a lot of chemistry there as well.
Interesting.
My question is, it worries me that I don't know if this is true or not. is how long ago was this?
Good question.
So I got married 5 years ago. Probably went about 4 years ago.
About 4 years ago.
Can you see Pete having a heart attack right now? Trying to work
I know,
out.
Literally. He's like, how do I answer this? I don't know what to say.
I just want to say before we get to the answers that whatever the answer may be to this, I have grown a lot as a person in the past 4 years. Cece, what do you think the truth and the lie is?
So I think the lie is number one, petrol station. And sadly, number two is true. And third, sorry, is true as well.
So for the first time ever, we're going to disagree. I think the lie is number two, because I can't imagine you just telling a bird that you hate her on a date. Oh, you did, didn't you? You fucking arsehole.
I knew it.
So go on then. Which one's what's the lie?
All right, so I've got a confession, right? And this is my fault. Don't read my emails properly that my publicist sends me. So I actually thought it was two lies and one truth, yeah.
Oh,
so there's only, so okay, only one truth, yeah.
Go on. So what's the truth?
And the truth is, unfortunately, very young me told a girl that because you don't like West Ham, it ain't gonna work. And yeah.
So the truth is, so just for everyone listening, it was a lie. I wasn't at any point cheating on anyone I was with or having dinner with anyone else ever. It's never happened.
Don't worry about you, Pete. Let's talk about the fact that you still left someone at the petrol station
No, that was a lie.
Now I'm confused.
Right, there was two lies. So he never left anyone at a petrol station. Good guy. I never cheated on anyone ever. It's never happened. It's just something that we don't talk about. But the truth was, Governor Bede, a lovely fella, told some bird he hated her.
Oh, right, okay. So that's still pretty bad, isn't it?
No, it is really bad, but can I just silver lining for that story is I didn't leave her at the ground, you know? I still took her home and that kind of stuff. You know
yeah.
I don't think I'd get back in the car with you. If you said I hate you...
I bet it was a fucking awkward journey home, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't drive. We took the train, so it weren't too bad. It weren't too bad.
Basically, well, I had no choice. Oh, God.
Well, listen... I've loved having you on, mate. Like I said, you're a role model and inspiration. So thanks so much for being here with us.
Were until you told them stories.
Listen, it's all about honesty, man. I'm not the finished article, but I'm working my way there.
Exactly. It's all about practicing honesty.
No, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it, and for just being so open. It's good for us, and we can. It's great to chat to someone who's available, emotionally available. So appreciate it.
And for anyone listening that that wants to know a little bit more and read more a little bit more about you, the book is called Unspoken.
Yeah, Unspoken, Toxic Masculinity and How I Face the Man Within the Man. It's out now. Thanks for having me, man. It's been sick chatting to you guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank
no
you.
Worries, brother. Thank you so much.
Namaste, Gubba B. Namaste.
You stop doing that, please, mate.
Yeah, namaste. Yeah, you know. Take care, mate.
See you later. Peace.
Oh, I loved it. I just loved it.
Yeah, so did I, actually. What a really interesting guy.
Do you know what? That when someone can be that open with themselves, I mean, I'm just fascinated at the work that he must have done on him to be able to get to that point, from going from, you know, like you said, to having a father that sort of didn't make that okay or there was obviously just no kind of communication in that way. It's quite inspirational, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that it's a really common thing, and I think that's, again, it's like Governor B said there, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was the same with my dad and his dad, is that a guy should be this way and this way and this way, and we're probably the first generation of people that's starting to understand, or the first generation of men that's starting to understand that it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah,
and hopefully
yeah.
Future generations will take that even further and more on board, and actually, you know, toxic masculinity becomes a thing of the past.
Yeah, and with the spin on it is it's actually brave. It's not, you know, it's not, you're not a pussy, you're not, you need to man up, you need to do any of these things. It's actually really, really brave to be able to express your emotions. My God.
100%, and it's something that everyone needs to work on more, men and women, I think, because it's, you know, as much as it's TM, fuck me. I think women, are, you know, there are some women that struggle with things like that as well. And you know, the more we talk and the more we support each other, the better it is.
Yeah. And trust me, being in a relationship for both, right? Like you just said, men and women, being in relationships with people that can be open is so much easier. When you know where you stand, you can ask for time. When you're able to say, right now, I need a minute, you know, I just need, please don't come closer, I just need to take a walk around the block. That is so much more helpful than don't talk to me, back away, you know, arms up, walls up, barriers up, because nobody knows what to do with that. How do you respond to that? And I'm not just saying men, you know, when I do it too. My thing is run away. If it's too much, right, that's it, I'm gone. But rather than announcing it and saying, I need five, I just, yeah, just exactly, remove myself from the situation.
I don't know what that was, I'm sorry.
Well, it was something, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, I see where you're going with it.
I'm so glad you're on my wavelength, because I just looked at myself doing that and thought, what the fuck does that mean? Obviously, you get it, because me and you are like Tweedledee and Tweedledum these days. Well, listen, I really enjoyed that, but it's our favourite time of the week.
Oh, even the dog likes it. Look, even the dog's excited by it. It's his very favourite time.
That's when you know you shouldn't be singing, when you awaken a dog from its sleep to bark because they think something terrible's happening. Anyway, listeners' Paige. Questions and stories. Let's go.
There you go. So we've got Paige from Essex. Let's listen to her dating story.
In August last year, I matched with a man on Plenty of Fish. We chatted for a few weeks and we met up for a first date. During the first date, he was attacked by a swarm of bees in the corner of this restaurant, which was quite funny. After a few more weeks of dating, everything of which I planned because he was just incapable of booking anything, it got to November and we were plunged into another national lockdown. And I just decided to call it a day. I wasn't feeling it anymore just because of his all-round lack of effort. Anyway, the following day, after he'd bombarded me with messages all day and night, I get a message from this girl on Facebook who basically said, "I've just given birth to your boyfriend's baby." Now, obviously, I was shocked. So I was confused. So I confronted him because he'd never told me about this ex that was pregnant. He had told me that he didn't tell me because he wasn't 100% sure the kid was his. However, I was sent proof by this girl. He knew it was his. I had to block him on everything on social media. He tried to bombard my friends and my work colleagues. He even sent me an email on my work email address. Bear in mind, I broke up with this guy in November last year. He somehow found my address and sent me a Valentine's Day card a few weeks ago and sent me some flowers as well. I decided to bin the flowers and kept the card because I thought it was quite funny. He's still begging me back 3 months later.
Wow.
Well, that was a story and a half, wasn't it?
That's quite a lot to take in. So he's got another girl pregnant. He's with this other, well, with her, lied to her, and now is begging for her back and told her that he wasn't sure if he was the dad.
Right.
Right.
So let's pick this apart. They went on a date. He didn't show any interest. This is the main part of this. Didn't show any interest, so she sacked him off. That, I think, is fair, completely and utterly. If you showed no interest, it doesn't matter what you've got going on in your life. If you're interested in someone, where there's a will, there's a way, regardless of there being lockdowns and everything else, you can make effort to FaceTime and do everything else. So she did the right thing. The whole, some woman sent him, sent her a thing saying she'd had the baby. Now, presumably, she hadn't been dating that long, so the woman was already pregnant. It's not like he cheated on her or whatever else. Funny enough, funny enough, this has actually happened to a friend of mine. Similar
a
sort of
friend of yours or you?
No, a friend of mine. A similar story where she was dating a guy and then found out 3 months into the relationship that he'd just had a baby with someone else. Now, she split up with a guy and whatever else, and I completely get it, but he was absolutely gutted because he really liked my friend, but he just didn't know how to tell her when he started dating her. You know, I had basically a one-night stand with someone and she decided to keep the kid. It wasn't a relationship. Oh. It wasn't this. How can I then go on a date with someone saying, by the way, another woman pregnant with my child? So he just didn't tell her. So this guy may have done that. So I don't necessarily, we're instantly thinking our heads, what a wanker, he's lied. But it's not an easy thing if something like that has happened. I mean, don't get me wrong, he may actually be a wanker. But there's two sides. How would you, as a guy, let's say you start dating someone and 2 months in, knowing that you've got someone else pregnant and it may not have been a relationship or whatever else, how, at what point do you sit there and go, so how's your week been? Good. I went to the scan for my baby. How was your day?
FYI. But that depends because 2 months is completely different to everybody. So 2 months, you could, if you spend every single day with someone for 2 months, you're walling. If you see someone at the weekend for 2 months, you know, you're kind of 8 dates in. So it's still, I think it's appropriate to say something. And if you see this person as a bit more, which he clearly does because he's bought her flowers and a card for Valentine's, if you see this person as more of more than just a date, then you have to be honest. I mean, you've got to.
I completely agree. Like Governor B just said, honesty is the best policy and all that sort of stuff. So I do completely agree. But, you know, it's quite a tough thing to tell someone.
I don't take that away from him.
When you first start dating someone, imagine it had happened to you, Cece. Imagine you start dating a guy and 2 months in and he goes, by the way, I've just had a child today.
I've got
someone pregnant.
She did also say, didn't she, that he wasn't sure if he was the dad.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a load of bollocks, but...
Wow, imagine that is true, though, and that's another reason why he hasn't, because he's like, well, I'm not going to go and ruin my dating life because, you know, some girl says that I'm the daddy.
I kind of feel sorry for everyone involved in this story.
Yeah, same.
I think that's a bit of a tough... Unless the geezer is just a wanker, in which case I don't feel sorry for him. But Paige, we feel sorry for you, but love the fact that you basically... well, you basically threw away the flowers and the card and
yeah, probably the right thing to do. Yeah.
International Women's Day, strong, independent woman.
Yeah. Yes. Boom.
Next up, we've got a question, which is where they need our advice. So we've got Beth from Milton Keynes.
Hiya. I have a question. Is it appropriate or acceptable when you live with your partner and they go out to have a wank without them knowing? And would you be annoyed if you found out they were doing that?
I love this question. I think this
is a great question. And I think it's a question that we are going to agree on, because I just think me and you will agree on a lot of things. But I think it's a question that a lot of people get yump about.
Same. So I find this fascinating, because I remember many moons ago when I heard an ex-boyfriend having a wank in the bathroom, and I immediately felt offended because I thought, why are you doing that? I'm horny. Why are you having a wank? Come and just have sex with me. I couldn't understand why he'd want to go and wank, you know, and I took it personally. What I didn't do, because I was too young and an idiot, is say, what's, you know, if you, this just be really open here, if you had a wank, you know, and why didn't you have sex with me instead? I don't think I've ever been in that situation since. I don't think I've heard my boyfriend, I'm spitting now, wanking. What's your take on it, Pete?
Well, there's two. I mean, this lady basically said that Beth, sorry, not this lady, Beth said that if your partner goes out, is it okay to have a wank?
She's having a wank.
Well, I don't know if she is or he. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's a guy or a girl. If your partner goes out, is it okay to have a wank? Yes, of course it is. Why wouldn't you? We all like to have a good time. Go and fucking wank yourself into a stupor. Nothing wrong with that. Your story is slightly different.
I took this completely
Your fella
wrong.
Nicked off to the toilet whilst you were there and had a wank. That I find, that is a bit weird.
Do you know what? You know when you don't listen properly and then you get yourself, I've stuck myself in the mud now, haven't I?
One of my favourite things about you is the fact that you overshare with us every week, and it makes me so happy. But yes, so if your partner's gone out, have a wank yourself into a stupor, see how many times you can come, do whatever you want to do. Happy days. Probably not a good idea, guys, to leave your missus on the sofa watching Britain's Got Talent and go and knock one out in the toilet. That, I think, is a bit odd, because, yes, why wouldn't he just get you to give him a slow hand job whilst it's on
Agreed.
The telly?
Well, I was even in bed. I was in the bedroom. That makes it worse. I've really shot myself in the foot here. I don't know how to bring myself back out this one.
I don't think you can, and I love it. So, yeah, I mean, that is a little bit weird. If your partner's in the house and you decide to go for a wank rather than expressing it with your partner. I mean, like you said, you were horny at the time, so you were obviously up for it.
You know,
so
what? Let's not talk about me anymore. Let's go back to Beth. No. I agree.
No, I'm happy. So you were horny, but he decided to have a wank instead.
I can see
why someone would find that.
So I found that frustrating. So fine.
But I do think also, if you do live with a partner and they're in the house, but you want to, if your partner's not in the mood or whatever else, yes, it's okay to If your partner wants to have sex with you, and yet you would prefer to go and wank into a towel in the bathroom, that probably says there's something wrong in the relationship. And are you still with that person, Cece?
No. It was a very long time ago. Oh dear, do you know what it is? Gumba B, he's shared so much and he's been so open, so I feel I should follow on from that. There you go. Open and vulnerable.
We love the fact that you share so much with us every single Friday, Cece. You are the highlight of my week every week for so many reasons. You've swiftly become, in the time that we've been doing this show, one of my favourite people of all time.
It's made me feel a little bit better. You can't see this, but I'm bright red. Thank God for the sunshine, this strip across my face right now, because I am very red.
Well, listen, it's okay. It's not a problem. I'm sure now your fella would rather wank with you.
Wicked, yeah. Anyway, is it the end of the show yet? Because I need a drink. I need a stiff drink.
Do you know what? It is the end of the show.
Okay, good. Guys, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Apologies about my disgusting mind and how I've lived my life. But hey ho. Pete, thanks for always supporting me and making me feel good about myself.
Listen, Mike, I'm your hype man. I am your hype man. On a serious level, we've been doing this for a few weeks now, and I genuinely, I love every minute of it. So thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Cece, for just being the most amazing co-host and friend.
Oh, no, thank you. And I know I'm namasteing, but listen, I mean it. This is a genuine response to when I'm happy. So thank you.
And thank you to Governor B. So join us next week at 6 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Ciao for now.